Turkey supports Islamic terrorists. Turkey is not a friend of the West. Turkey wants Israel annihilated. None of these headlines are breaking news stories for the past however many years it's been since Erdogan took power in Turkey, and it's not breaking news now. We've seen how Turkey reacts to anything that happens with Israel, and unfortunately, the West is still considering them an ally. They're still a part of NATO, which is kind of shocking in its own. But Turkey's most recent the most recent thing that they're annoyed by, and actually have threatened action over, is Israel's refusal to let them drop aid into Gaza from the air. Now, of course, this I'm sure the Owen Joneses of the world will say is proof of Israel committing genocide and starving the Palestinian people, because they don't want Turkey to drop food on the area. But yeah, you would think that's the most sensible thing that Israel has done recently, is say, you know what, maybe some countries are too much of a threat for us to allow into that area, and also we can't check what goes into those aid packages, and we can assume if they come from Turkey, it's not just baklava or whatever they eat there. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 186 of the war in Israel. Daniel, how's it going? What are your thoughts on this most recent story?
Well, I told you before how it's going. I'll keep that to just the two of us. Well, first off, when I saw this message, I was like, good. It's good that Israel is doing this. It's good that Israel is stopping at least someone from actively supporting their own destruction, meaning Israel. What else I would say about it? I mean, it's a good start, but Israel has to do more than that. It has to stop all humanitarian aid to come in if it actually wants to, finish this war. If it actually wants to, or finish this war quickly, which after some recent news, we are not even sure if they are even fully committed to actually finishing this. At least we see that they are definitely not committed to any sort of occupation, actual occupation, not just this, yeah, we are overlooking them and we can come in at any point. No, you need to be there and you need to make sure that the civilians know that you are there and that they should change the way they do things. So I guess this is what I wanted to say about start. I have more things to say about specifically Turkey and their relations with Israel. But yeah, as overall, it's a good news, and I hope Israel will not, there will be some pressure, obviously, from this, and I hope Israel will not again completely submit to the pressure, and hopefully we'll see more.
Yeah, so one of the low points of Israel and Turkey's relations, which have been good historically, Turkey, when I was growing up, was the number one destination for tourism from Israel. One of the low points was in May of 2010, when a flotilla of six ships traveled from Turkey, organized by the IHH, which is IHH, right? Which is an organization, a charity, and we know how charity can mean many things. Organized a flotilla of humanitarian aid, so-called humanitarian aid, to Gaza. It was called the Gaza Freedom Flotilla because words like freedom mean nothing to these people, so why not add it to the title? Now, Israel, of course, there was a blockade. Israel didn't allow the ships to go in. Five of them turned around when they were told to. A sixth ship would not turn around. And then Israel, being Israel, treated them with kid gloves, sent in some soldiers unarmed first to the ship. Those soldiers were attacked. Then Israel, had to act a bit more decisively. It ended up that 10 of the activists, let's be generous and call them that, were killed. And long story short, Israel ended up apologizing for that and paying Turkey and paying the families of these terrorist supporters, paying them off. And this same organization has announced that it is planning to do this again. It hasn't announced what exactly it will do, when they're told to turn around. But back then, of course, this was one of those moments where this was in the news. This was something that anti-Semitic incidents were up shortly after that again, because of course, when Israel defends itself, it's an excuse for people to attack Jews. And Turkey will do this because, of course, to these people, the loss of of life on their side is a good thing if it is caused in a conflict with Israel and can then be used to paint Israel as the bad guy. Israel, unfortunately, we know is gonna gladly accept that title and play the bad guy, even though they are defending themselves and their citizens.
Yeah, so you mentioned, Turkey and Israel used to have good relations, and they have couple similar traditions, like having the same guy leading the nation for like 20 years. And as you go back when Hamas won the election in Gaza, the Turkish government met with the Hamas leader and congratulated them on their victory. And then, as you said, in 2010, even Prime Minister Erdogan described Hamas as the resistance fighters who are struggling to defend their land. So, their support for Hamas has been really clear from pretty much the beginnings of Hamas. Yet Israel again is apologetic, is trying to in 2000, I think 20 or 22, has tried to rebuild relations with Turkey, and completely ignoring the fact that Turkey has is according to Shin Bet has recruitment stations for Hamas. It is actively shielding Hamas leaders and saying to Israel that if Israel tries to do anything against these people, there will be consequences for it. Yeah, and all that. And again, just bringing back to the idea of humanitarian aid, you have to realize that yeah, any sort of aid to your enemy is an act of war against you. I mean, in the I mean, just imagine if in the Second World War there was like some neutral country trying to support the Germans and the Allies just leaving it be. And you don't even have to imagine because it happened. Sweden was a neutral country that supplied Germany with iron ore. What the Allies did, they bombed the hell out of convoys. I mean, they were German convoys, I believe, but they bombed them and didn't allow them to actually go into Germany. And you could think that something like iron is a bit more strategic than just humanitarian aid. But any sort of support for your enemies is actively working on destroying you and not allowing you to not allowing the government of Israel do the number one thing that it should do, and it's protect its own citizens. That's the main and the only role the government should have. And when it fails at this function, that's a failed government. That's a government that needs to rethink what it's doing.
Yeah, I mean the point there that Turkey and Erdogan referred to Hamas as the resistance movement is pretty much all you need to know to make the right conclusion here and take the appropriate action. If they say that Hamas is the resistance movement, they say basically that actions like October 7th are kind of a necessary part of the resistance to whatever it is that is wrong, supposedly the occupation, but we know that these people don't really mean just the occupation of the Gaza Strip, which has been over for decades, and the occupation of Judea and Samaria. They mean the entire existence of Israel. But considering that they consider Hamas a resistance movement, what does that mean? And what does that mean in terms of, let's say, any aid that they might drop? Again, yeah, food is military aid. It is the equivalent of military aid. You cannot fight if you have no food. So, but do we know it's really that's all it is? We don't, and we have very good reason to believe that it's much more than that. Now, I don't know that this is Israel's reason for not allowing it, but it is something that one could assume is going to be a part of whatever aid they end up dropping on Gaza. So, with Turkey, I've been wondering for a while, what will it actually take? But I wonder that with a lot of other countries. What will it actually take for the West to say, hang on, this may have made sense a long time ago. It made sense for them to be part of NATO. It makes no sense now. It makes no sense under Erdogan to consider this a country that we can deal with as we would with allies. What makes sense is to say, look, this we're cutting you off. We're at least in terms of seeing you as an ally. This is no longer a country that is on our side. This is not a country that is on the West side. It is very clearly on the side of Islamic terrorism, which is a growing problem for Western countries as it grows in the Middle East and as it grows within our own countries.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the history of Turkey, after the Second World War, it was I believe one of the first nations that joined after the it was founded. Like, you had the first members and then they joined the second time. And it was a great ally against the Soviet Russia. It was a good ally, and also as a country, it was a somewhat liberating country. It was a secular country. And what is it now? It's a big buddy buddy with Arabic nations, a great friend of Russia. It's I mean, and even when it comes to internal politics, it's becoming more and more Islaming every day. It's forgetting its secular values. I mean, again, why is it in NATO? What are we actually getting? If it's doing if the fact that Turkey is doing anything by being in NATO, it's destructive to us. I mean, again, at some point we talked about Turkey, and I was thinking about what if, let's say, Israel killed Hamas leaders in Turkey. Would that count as an attack on NATO? I'm like not sure, but it would be very problematic if it happened. And again, the idea that Turkey should still be in NATO, I am struggling to see any reason for it, and I'm hoping at some point we will realize that, yeah, this country doesn't share our values and doesn't share, anything in common with us anymore.
Yeah, thank you, Ginger, for the super chat, and thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Yeah, Turkey knows that, and it hides behind this shield. It hides behind the shield of basically its enemy, the enemy that it chose to be an enemy of. So the West is protecting it's protecting Turkey. And yeah, you mentioned it was a great ally against Russia, against Soviet Russia. Soviet Russia was an ally against the Nazis, and it's like, first of all, there's always a question of who you want to be allies with, and whether or not it's the right thing to do. But in any case, war is a lifeboat situation. After the war, and this, well, with Russia, I guess that the West made its mistake and decided to double down and then continue with such policies. But yeah, the idea that the UN was founded and the UN Security Council and had Russia as a permanent member because this is somehow going to ensure peace. The fact that you treat the worst countries in the world as if they are countries that you can work with, well, we're learning that lesson in NATO. To your point, Michael says in the chat, did I lose where Michael said? Oh yeah, he said you have a very rosy colored view of NATO. Look, I think NATO is a good idea. It's not necessarily done in the best way possible, but yes, I would like to see an alliance of free countries that also involves, ideally, some sort of military protection against an enemy like Russia. Would the Cold War have stayed cold if there was no NATO? I don't know. I think Europe definitely benefits from the existence of NATO, but it would benefit from the existence of NATO with countries that are actually on our side. Russia is still, I think, very much an enemy, but we can't ignore the fact that Islamist countries are enemies as well. And it's time to start looking at Turkey as one of those countries.
So, as a citizen of a NATO country that is on the border with the nation actively at war, I'm very much in favor of NATO. And that's why, and here I might come into conflict with some people, but that's why I also like the idea of the European Union. I like the idea of some union or a pact of countries that has some standard, not like the UN, which pretty much lets anyone in, and the more evil you are, the more power you will have in the UN. I like the idea of having NATO and EU having some sort of standards, such as, democratically elected governments, some sort of freedom-oriented governments, some sort of values that we share in common. And that's why I think nations like Turkey have no place in it, because they are actively the undermining these values and basically making it so we don't actually have any actual requirements. And if that happens, then yeah, might as well let anyone in NATO, might as well let Russia in NATO, or make Qatar a major ally of NATO, which they did, if we actually have no sorts of standards or no values.
Yeah, and you look at the approach to countries like Turkey as opposed to the approach to countries like Israel or I don't think that's a widespread approach. It's mostly the approach to Israel, which is holding Israel to an impossible standard, a standard by which if it acts, it will at some point cease to exist, and cease to exist by the most brutal ending imaginable. On the one hand, you have that. On the other hand, you have Turkey not being held to any standard. So, who was it? Mugiwara here in the chat says, "I'm sure the Kurds have something to say about the Turks." And earlier on, Alexis said, "Time to take back Cyprus." Yeah, we very conveniently forget what Turkey has done. We don't need to go back as far as the Armenian genocide, which they still pretend didn't happen, but we can look to current times and what they themselves are doing, and they are truly an evil country, as they currently are operating. So again, if a country was on the right side of some conflict in the past and there was a good reason to ally with them, great. That does not mean you should be, you should operate based on that for all eternity. And again, I think the West is already paying a price, and that price will only keep rising.
So someone in the chat is saying that NATO doesn't have a mechanism for expelling a member state. I also tried looking that up, and I believe it's true. Like, there is no actual mechanism. Although if they actually wanted to get rid of Turkey, I'm sure they would find a way. It would probably be the same way as with an admission of a country, probably that all nations would have to agree, which again might be problematic. The larger the NATO is, the more difficult it becomes. But we've already seen Turkey is on the wrong side. It actively tried to block the basically admission of I believe Sweden and both Sweden and Finland, I believe they tried to block. So we can see that this country is not on the same side as us. And also Ram is saying that it sounds like Hamas is digging a tunnel under me. So I'm gonna act as a Palestinian civilian. I don't hear anything, so we can just keep moving on.
Me neither, but I don't know how it sounds on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, to the very idea of NATO was to protect Europe from Russia, and now, opposing Finland and Sweden. I mean, Finland is literally a country that at any point could be taken over by Russia if they so choose. So yeah,
And just quickly, and it's also a country that used to be in a sphere of influence of Russia, which for Putin is a big thing, big justification that they can't take over a nation if it used to be in the sphere of influence.
The argument, the Russian argument, the Putin argument for invading Ukraine applies to Finland. So yeah, and applies to other countries. So the weakness that the West is showing to Russia, and there is a weakness in pretending that your enemies, or at least foes, let's call them that, are allies. There is a weakness in that. This is putting all of Europe in danger. Thank you, Roland, for the super chat. Roland says, bears repeating, free Cyprus. And yes, it does. And thank you. Actually, not thank you, but one of our trolls in the chat says, well, I don't know if troll, he's making a comment that is opposing what we're saying. And he says, Israel is lawless. Israel will find out. Not too many countries have reason to side with criminals. Of course, he's referring to Israel as criminals. The fact that not too many countries are willing to side with Israel is a good thing. Generally, it's a sign that Israel is doing, or at least an indication, or a reason to think that Israel might be doing something right, considering most countries are dictatorships. Most countries are horrible countries run by horrible people. And if they're on your side of, on anything, you probably have to question the side that you're on. So yeah, it's not a numbers game. If it was a numbers game, Israel would have ceased to exist days after it declared independence. It was attacked by multiple countries. It was not yet fully a country. It was a country on paper, and it defended itself. It is now surrounded by hundreds of millions of people who want to kill Jews, and it still manages to somehow defend itself, although again insufficiently, and I don't think this will work long term. But yeah, I think Israel should celebrate the fact that so many countries in the world are against it. If you have the North Koreas and the Irans and whoever else, singing your praises, then that's not something to be proud of.
Yeah, Israel being disliked by many countries, it reminds me of a quote of one general, or maybe it's just made up, I cannot remember. But basically, a soldier comes to a general and says, "We are surrounded." And he's like, "Great, we can shoot at all sides." And I think this is the stance Israel should take. And I don't mean just declaring wars on all other countries, but like, okay, we shouldn't care. Like, whatever we do, they will hate us. So we might as well actually try to finally finish off Hamas and look forward to some sort of safer future, some sort of potential future where we don't have to get bombed every single day and allowing literal terrorists live right next to us. Just bringing back to the story, it's a good thing that Israel is blocking Turkey from dropping aid. And I hope, although I'm slowly, every day I'm becoming less hopeful for Israel, because I'm not sure if Israel itself actually is willing to defend itself, but I'm keep hoping that it will realize, the actual stakes here, and it realize that what needs to be done.
Yeah, and the other side knows what they want to be done, want to have done, and what they will do. So this flotilla, I'm assuming, will happen. Last week we covered the story where seven aid workers were killed in an accidental attack by Israel. But on Friday, if you missed Friday's show, you should go back and watch it. This was after Israel actually looked into it, which, of course, the headlines and the criticism of the world, from around the world of Israel, was before anybody had looked into it, because that's how it works. And once Israel looked into it, Israel still apologized, but or was apologetic. I don't know if there's a formal apology. In diplomacy, there's all sorts of bullshit formalities that I really am not an expert, nor do I plan to be an expert in them. But it really showed that it made sense if you want to be on the if you want to make sure that the enemy during this time of war is not able to carry out its intentions, that strike made sense. And yet that made headlines. And of course, as we've discussed many times over the past months, headlines change policies, change the policies of the West towards Israel. And those headlines did the same. What's going to happen with this flotilla? I can only guess. I imagine they will be, so last time, as we said, there were six ships. It was just the Mavi Marmara that was that didn't turn around. I imagine this time they're going to be they're coming for war. That is what those ships are doing. And I hope Israel will respond appropriately. And you want to tell them to turn around, tell them to turn around. But when they don't turn around, don't risk your soldiers and do what needs to be done. And then the world will respond as it responds. But that is the right thing to do. And again, that is another opportunity to send a message to anybody who wants to side with terrorists. This is what I'd like Israel to consider. There are many, many opportunities for Israel to change course from the very destructive way it's been conducting this war, destructive to Israel. And show its enemies that it will not lie down, no matter what its so-called allies demand. Daniel.
Well, Gaza Delinda est. And that's the way I like to end the shows now.
Well, that is a good way to end shows. I don't see, although I haven't been able to monitor the everything in the chat, I don't see our friend Ira Meerkat, so we'll do that for him. And but why? And that question will be answered in the next episode when we will discuss the next episode of the reality show is titled "The Palestinian People Are Hamas." So yeah, that again, it's a bombastic title, but we will back it up. I hope you will tune in. Let us know what you think, and of course, share it and subscribe if you're not subscribed. All right. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you on the reality show in a minute.